I'll give them a quick hand, real quick. They have gained an instrument, I see, from the last time they played together. So that must mean they're looking for other instruments. Amen. So if you can play another instrument and would like to be part of that, get in touch with one of those that are sitting there, Brother Bill, Brother Jim, Brother Hector, and tell them that, hey, I play something, and whatever it is, and we'll see if we cannot fit it in. Y'all did a great job. I appreciate that. It's not easy. Two pianists, a guitar, bells, what do they call that thing there? Xylophone. Xylophone, yeah. Bells, and flute, and what's that thing, clarinet? How about that? I learned some musical instruments today. Y'all did a great job. And I'm sure there's others here that could play or played in the past and say, I'm just rusty. Well, they practice enough to get the rust off. And so you come up and tell them you'd like to be a part of that. That will be a blessing to them and to us. We'll be looking today at what makes us free. It is the 4th of July weekend. I trust you had a safe 4th of July yesterday, and you enjoyed your time. It's the second year in a row that my family and I went down to St. Cloud to the waterfront, and we've sit in the same spot both years in a row, trying to get the same experience. And both years, while I have been there, there's been a man, and he looks, he is Hispanic. He looks to be maybe from Cuba. How do you know that? I don't know. He just seems to be from Cuba to me. And the whole time the fireworks are playing, he's playing patriotic music. He brings a little bitty radio. And the whole entire time, and I was fascinated. Last year I was fascinated with it. And I tried to speak as we went past, and of course the conversation didn't go very well last year. But this year I couldn't even find him. He was up further in the crowd. And I thought, that is an amazing thing, that there's a gentleman who knows what time it is. It's more than just for fireworks. And he was playing, I mean, just all kind of patriotic music as it went the whole entire time. He's recorded on a little bitty MP3 player, and I was amazed at that. And I'm glad to be from this country. I'm glad that I live here in America, but I am more than glad to know that my citizenship is in heaven. And you can know that from whatever country you're from. It doesn't matter if you're from Europe, Asia, Africa, America. It does not matter, North America, South America. You can know for sure that you have a citizenship in heaven through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And so I am glad that I am from this country, but I am more thankful that Christ died for the world. Amen. Amen. And I am thrilled to death to know that I still do most of my stuff with a pencil and piece of paper instead of a computer. That is ridiculous. I watched that thing 3 times through before church this morning. And then they did a sound check, and it did fine. And how many here has never read the Declaration of Independence? You're set. Everybody's covered. So the Lord knew. But I'm telling you, that is a wonderful, wonderful document. But according to Scripture, that document doesn't make you free. It's a good document. It's done a lot for the world in freedom of worship, freedom of a society to transform its families into a gospel-believing, Bible-believing land. But that document does not set us free. The Bible says that there's something settled in heaven forever, and that's the Word of God. So today we're going to talk about what makes us free. Go with me to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. You know, God has blessed America tremendously. What a land that we live in. Even today, as I look around us, I think about the country of Greece, and they're going bankrupt. Think about the poverty in many of the Asian countries and the African nations. I think about the poverty in many of our South American nations. But we here in our land are rich in the Lord. You may not make a minimum wage, but you have the freedom to know Christ and be rich in the Lord. And that's an amazing thing there. And let me say this here. If you only make minimum wage, you're no less in God's eye than if you made $47 an hour. He died for all. A minimum wage is a good start. It's better than being sitting at home doing nothing. So just stay working. Keep looking for that next job. And you can do some great things here in this land. John chapter 8, 32. Verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. Good to have visitors with us this morning. Thank you for visiting with us. We're glad that you've chosen our church to come and worship at. And we pray that if you are looking for a church, that perhaps one day this could be your church family. We'd love to have you be part of that family. And we would love to share with you how you can have the knowledge to know that how you can be part of what God's doing here in Lock Haven. John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, how about let's start at verse number 30. Yeah, let's start at verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. Now pause there for a minute. Any of you Bible scholars here know if they were in bondage or not? 400 some years, were they not in one particular case in the land of Egypt? You see how they forget? We've never been in bondage, and that's only one instance. They've been in bondage many times. Let's read on. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's read one more verse of passage before I get started this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's liberty. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Freedom is one of our greatest blessings in our country. The freedom to get up and to choose what career you would have, where you would work. The freedom to choose what type of vehicle that you would purchase. I mean, wouldn't it be a difficult thing, just for instance, ponder this thought would be, if you left out of Walmart to go get into your car and everybody had to have a black Toyota Camry. Same year, same model, same hubcaps. How many of you ever lost your car in the midst of all those different cars? Amen. I couldn't imagine. Can you imagine clicking your thing, trying to find your car, walking through it? It is a blessing to be able to choose those type of things. You can choose what type of house you would like. You can choose where you live, what street you live on. Wouldn't it be something if all the Smiths had to live on Smith Avenue? Would you hate to be the mailman, mail lady? Here you go in your car and you're trying to deliver mail, and every name is Smith, and you know, the next road everybody's Johnson's, and the next road everybody is what's another name? Every name, but we don't have that. We have freedom to choose, and what a blessing. Isn't it a blessing that here in our country that we can choose which church we'd like to go to and be a part of? That we don't all have to be the same and be of the same religion, the same denomination, and be forced to go to that one. And if I didn't go to this particular church, that I'd stand a chance to even be put in jail. Being my property confiscated. I'll tell you, freedom is a great blessing, and it does not arrive out of the blue sky. Freedom has an originator. Freedom has something. It comes from somewhere and somebody. And I thank the Lord that I have political freedom. I'm thankful that I don't have to be a Republican or ride a donkey. And I don't have to drink tea. And I don't have to be a libertarian. I can choose which I would want. And I thank God that I have pledged allegiance to the Lamb, the Son of God. Political freedom is something to enjoy. It is much strength in the political freedom that if we use it like it was set up to be. I personally like personal freedom. I don't like it whenever my personal freedoms are messed with, that I can't do this, I can't do that. You folks that live in a homeowners association, I pray for you daily. I don't know how you even put up with the fact that you have to have six of the same type of trees in your place or you get a fine. I don't understand how you can have three cars and they all have to fit in the garage and you don't have a two-car garage. Are you going to get fined? I enjoy my personal freedom, but it comes from somewhere. It does come from somewhere. What makes us free? I have a duplicate copy of the Declaration of Independence right here. Tremendous document. I have some nice books over in my library. This is a good one. It's an old book, probably hard to find in print anymore, but Citizenships for Christians by Voy Valentine. But these don't make me free. What makes me free? John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth. What's truth? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You understand something different? That when God gave us the Bible, it was to give us liberty and freedom, and it was to give us protection and guide and direction. It was to set us free from the bondage of sin. The Bible said there in the two verses down that if any man sin, he is servant to sin. But the Word of God shall make us free. Don't be afraid of the Bible. Don't be afraid of the Word of God. Be around people who make much of the Word of God. Be around a church where the Word of God is the most important thing in all that they do. I thank God for our printing ministry over here where we get to print and publish Scripture right here on our property and get to send it out. That is a wonderful thing. I thank the Lord for our choir. Choir, you did a tremendous job today. I thank the Lord for the group we have playing the instruments now, that it's grown and it continues to grow. I thank the Lord that our youth get to go to camps. And tomorrow morning we'll leave for another camp and we'll be able to take some people up into Georgia. I think 17 plus counselors will be going up to Georgia. And I thank the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, if we just have camps and just have music and we just have choir and there is no Bible, dear friend, we will end up again in bondage. I see something that has happened in our great country, in our great country of America. Is what I see happening is that there is no more believing that the Bible is an absolute authority. We've left the running of our nation, and every nation, if it forgets God, shall be turned into hell. We've left the running of our nation to non-believers. We as believers, we as Christians, we who have know the truth, we who walk in the truth, who have the truth, we've backed away and we've left it to them. So all the decisions that are being made in our great country is made because they are not walking in the light of the Word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I would you would go back and study on your own some of the events that led up to the finding of the New World in 1492, and it was not that. I tell you what was what really caused the movement, I believe with all my heart, was whenever they founded the printing press. In the when they was able to take the Word of God and print it in multiple languages and multiple forms and be able to spread it out. Hey, God was saying it's time to move. It's time to get out. It's time to make a direction. And the powers to be at that time over in England will say, no, we're going to rule and you're going to do like we say. You're going to worship how we worship. And the press began to open up the avenue of the Word of God and it began to set people free. Preacher, what if we were in bondage? What if we were bound up and we were slaves of some sort or somehow or another? How could we still live free? Because it is not my situation, it's not my position that makes me free. It's my relationship with Christ. Well, give me an example. Joseph was free in Christ. He was bound in prison. He was a slave to Potiphar. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were slaves to the rule and the throne that they was under, but yet they were free in Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Don't be afraid of your Bible. Use your Bible. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Follow along in the church whenever the pastor or somebody says, hey, let's read this verse. Turn over there with them. Make sure they're reading and explaining and saying what God says. For it's the Word of God that's going to make us free. America has provided for people a place of freedom for years now. People have come and they fled to our country. And God has opened the doors. I believe the number one reason is because we share the gospel of Christ with people. And we go into foreign worlds and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God that's going to make us free. Thank the Lord for these men. Thank the Lord for them. But this here could be burned up in a moment. Our three branches of government could be gone in a moment. But God said, not a jot, not a tittle shall pass away from His Word. Dear friend, we've got to get back to the realization that it is the Word of God that sets us free. You have a problem with anger, dear friend. You don't need anger management. And what's that, Charlie Sheen, whoever his name is. He can't help you with anger management. Peace comes from God. We find peace from within, from the Scriptures. When I lack time in the Word of God, dear friend, I'm going to tell you this. There's an anger spirit that rises up in me. When I'm in the Word of God, dear friend, and I stay in the Word of God, the joy of the Lord overflows. It's the Word of God that sets me free. It's the Word of God that teaches me to flee youthful lust. What is everybody else saying? Run to it and enjoy life. But the Word of God says flee it. It's the Word of God, dear friend. And God has opened up an avenue for our nation, dear friend, that as we are here an economical power. Yes, we are. A military might. Yes, we are. An industrial city. Yes, we are. And a city that brings about entrepreneurship. Yes, we are, dear friend. All those things can fade away and pass in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Something could happen. Think about just 10 years ago, the economy just fell out from under us. Some of you were hurt really bad by the boom of real estate, and all of a sudden it went away. But I'll tell you, the Word of God is still here today. Some of you, that's all you've had to rely upon was the Word of God the last 10 years of fighting out of this. But the peace of God is still there. It's the Word of God that shall set us free. What else? He says something else there in verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The Word of God not only allows us freedom, but the Son of God shall make us free indeed. It flows through the Word of God as we read it, and the Son of God, the relationship I enjoy with Him, and I have personal freedom day by day. The authority of the Word of God, the Son of God sitting at the right-hand throne of God making intercession for you and I. As Christ has set many people free. I think about Nicodemus there in John chapter 3 that was set free from religious bonds. I know so many people today are trapped in religious bonds. They're trying to do this religiously. They're trying to do that religiously. And it seems as though they fail. Listen, some people can't even light candles good anymore without burning them. Some people can't kneel and get up and down anymore. Some people are speaking in unknown languages, trying to make themselves a religious. And they're bound to these religious acts and religious things. And as they do this, Nicodemus came to the Lord by night and said, "Lord, I am a ruler. I am a teacher of religion." And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And he was set free from religious bondage. Hey, religion is good, dear friend. But if it stands alone by itself and doesn't point people to Christ, it's null and void. Our whole focus of being in the house of God and involved in a religious organization and huddling ourselves together for the ministry is that we may say, "Behold the Lamb of God." Not the Baptist church, not the Presbyterian church, not the Lutheran church, not the Pentecostal church, not the Catholic church, not the Jehovah's Witness, not the Mormons. It's "Behold the Lamb of God." And so many of our religions are sucking people in by the movement, but they're not pointing people to Christ. You need to be free from religious bondage, because it is when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. No wonder we have religious people in churches that still live lost. They've never met the Christ of the Lord of heaven. They're bound by religion. I think about Zacchaeus. How many of you know who Zacchaeus was? Wee little man. Climbed up a sycamore tree. Who did he want to see? He wanted to see the Lord because he heard Jesus come back. How many of you know what his job was? What was Zacchaeus' job? What was it, Clay? Tax collector. Zacchaeus was a man that lusted after money. That day he got set free from that lust of money, that hunger for money. Let me tell you something. The love of money is the root of all evil. It is a necessary thing to have, but not an idol to behold. Preacher, how do you know it's necessary? Well, I've been to Aldi here lately. I tried to do some religious acts, and they wouldn't let me leave the store with my groceries till I paid with money. I went to Walmart just the other day. I asked them if I could just do a jig on top of the table, and they just let me walk out. I had to pay with money. We operate in money, but some of us behold it as a god. We chase it.
We're running after it. We're not content. You know what Jesus said to the soldiers? Be content with your wages. Be content. Zacchaeus was set free from the lust of money. I think about the woman in John chapter 4 who walked in and found Jesus at Simon's house and partaking of the food and meal there. And she came in with that alabaster box of oil and she broke it and began to weep and to be able to anoint the Lord's feet and wash His hair feet with her hair. And Simon and the other ones said with themselves, but he knew what manner of man. What was they saying? If he knew how immoral she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. I think about the woman that was caught by the crowd and they were brought to the Lord and said, Lord, the law says that we should stone her. She is caught in the very act. And the Lord began to write in the sand. And one by one, they begin to leave from the eldest to the youngest. And they begin to go that way. What was her problem? Her problem was immorality. And I'm going to tell you, whenever she met Jesus, whenever that other one, Martha, met Jesus, dear friend, she was set at liberty. She was set at freedom from immorality. In our nation's schools, we've allowed education about the sexual things of life from now the ages of under even sixth grade, and it has not helped, has it? Abstinence has not taken off and took flight and took wings, has it? But we've trained them, we've taught them how to be safe. Really? How about just not doing it until you say I do? You can be set free from immorality if you know the Son and you build a relationship with the Son day by day, moment by moment, and not week by week. Sometimes we only need God on Sunday, don't we? Sometimes we pick up the Lord Jesus kind of like a backpack and we walk around with Him. And when we don't need Him no more, we just set Him aside. So there's three different examples where religion had people in bondage and money had people in bondage and immorality had people in bondage. Yeah, preacher, but I'm free. I'm free. Are you really free? Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Are you free? Are you at liberty with Christ? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, the Spirit makes us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I know that whenever I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, my personal Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God moved in and lived in me. But I also know that that did not give me a license to continue living like I live. It did not give me liberty to live under grace and continue in sin. It gave me liberty to live for Christ through the power of Christ as He continues to work me out of sin. How is your relationship with the Spirit today? Have you grieved Him? Have you quenched Him? Man's long search through religious ceremonies brings them to naught. Men, women, searching through the economical gains of our society, only to find at the end they're still in want of more. How many of you would be satisfied with $1 billion? I don't know how much Trump has, but he's not satisfied with just $1 billion, is he? Warren Buffett? He's not satisfied with $1 billion. Good old Sam Walton, before he died, was a good man. Walmart used to be something, cared about people, but $1 billion wasn't enough. Now his children are chasing more. Money will never satisfy you. Never. Immorality. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. We've had wickedness and lewdness since the very beginning of time. The Bible said in Genesis 6 that the thoughts of men were wicked continually. Just like today, isn't it? It doesn't satisfy. They used to have unrated movies, and then they had PG movies, and then they had rated R, and then, you know, the other filth that they would show, but now they've gone to PG-13. TV-14. Because we desire more immorality. It doesn't satisfy. And they give us this little bitty fake guide, and we as parents fall asleep allowing our kids to be taught. I mean, after all, they say it's okay for 13-year-olds. Who should make that decision? Parents. Parents, you have a tough job. All these kids are sassy and disrespectful and not being respectful to authority. And your parents have a tough job. One day you're going to grow up and you're going to have children of your own. And you're going to see exactly how tough a job it is. And yet they loved you through it. They cared for you. They thought about you. And they prayed over you. They tried to protect you. And all you kept saying, but everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Parents, stay with it. Stay with it. That immorality that the world offers doesn't satisfy. Doesn't satisfy. Well, preacher, it's okay. We're just going to have a vote and we're going to legalize pot and it's going to be all right. We're going to be able to, it's going to help everybody. Legalized pot won't satisfy. Preacher, we're going to be okay because all they want was their right to be married and be recognized as a marriage. And yes, now today there's a guy out in Montana filing a lawsuit for his second wife. Today. Filed Friday. Already married one. Now he says, they can have theirs. I'm going to have mine. Doesn't satisfy. Psychologist already put out an article that there's a new, what it used to be, third sex, third gender, what do they call it? Male, female, and sex, gender, I don't know what it's called. Now there's a new one, juvenile affectionate. Oh yeah, juvenile affection. You know what we call that? Pedophilia. They changed the word. Juvenile affection. Preacher, you're crazy. You got Google? Google it. It don't satisfy. Don't satisfy. That's why they keep telling me, preacher, that's Old Testament. That's why God put it right there by bestiality. Because He knew it wouldn't end. Because it doesn't satisfy. Preacher, it does satisfy. That's why we have one man, one teenage young man at 19 years old having 13 children by different baby mamas. It don't satisfy. Manhood has been cut to null and nothing. I'm going to tell you something. Manhood is not how many you can sire. It's how many you can love and raise to become good, godly citizens that put back into society. You stepdads, I appreciate you. You've stepped up where some sorry dad wouldn't step in. stayed with him. Quit knocking down our stepdads and stepmoms, because there was a real dad and a real mom that wouldn't stay put. Because they weren't satisfied. They had to have more. Had to have more. And had to have more. It's the Word of God. It's the Son of Man. And it's the Spirit that is going to set us at liberty. Political freedom is good. It makes me a free citizen. Praise God for it. Spiritual freedom makes us free to be saints in God's army. And I'll take the latter before the first any day. And I'm thankful I'm born in America. I'm thankful that our nation still is free and that I could choose this morning to come here to this church. And if I didn't like it, I could choose to go to another one. But I am thankful that the Son of Man set me free and made me part of His family. How free are you today? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is going to be coming. Brother Jim will be leading us in a song of invitation in a moment. I'm going to be right down here. If you've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord, sir, I'm not asking if you're an American born and bred. I'm not asking if you are legal or illegal. I'm not asking about your status here on this earth. I'm asking about your status in heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to set man free. Have you ever put your faith and trust in Christ? It's the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But preacher, I was in the church, said you had to be baptized. But preacher, I was in the church, said you had to be confirmed. I was in the church. I'm talking about what the Bible says this morning. That you can know for sure that you have eternal life. If you're lost this morning, why don't you come and let us introduce you to Jesus.